I don't have a Father's Day message, I'm sorry, but we do serve a great God, and tonight I want to talk about working the Word, and you look, let's start in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. This is a very different, I would say, message tonight, and really taking the Bible in a full approach. And I will say this, many people are discouraged because of wrong thinking, possibly wrong teaching, or people get in the ditch, right? Years ago, Adrian and I, we were kind of, and there's some ministers, you know, that, but let's just be clear that, you know, there were some, you know, just because somebody's spirit-filled or they, you know, very charismatic, and then, you know, some people get off, and it doesn't mean everybody's off, right? I mean, there are some, obviously, mainline denominational people that are off, that are not scriptural, but I think that some people have gotten discouraged, they've backslid, or they've lost hope because they're not working the Word. And I'm not talking about, we're not talking about, you know, you haven't, you know, you got to spend 100 hours a week in the Bible. I mean, it's good to be in, obviously I'm love the Bible and love the Word, but there are other things the Bible talks about for us in life for things to connect. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart does good like medicine, here we go, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. There are just sometimes that people are down or they're discouraged, and it just it's almost when your soul is broken, sometimes it's hard to have hope anymore. You know? It's like you take a hammer and you knock your thumb. I wrecked my toe, like my big toe. Okay, thanks, Adrian, for no. It was probably like 6-7 months ago. I don't know what it was. It didn't hurt that bad, but I just jammed it really bad, you know? And it just turned like completely black, and it's been black for like 7 or 8 months now. And you're like, it's weird. So it's like slowly growing out, but the point is, now when I go upstairs, I'm like, I look dorky, you know. Yeah, I do. I look. But the point is just when you had things like that happen, because every time everybody in the house was like, oh, Dad, your toe looks weird. Like, thanks for noticing. I appreciate that. Yeah, thanks for that. But when you have those things in your life that things just happen, it's just, and then you look down at it and, you know, those are, or, you know, you're running around people too, they're gun shy about things, or, you know, Adrian's dad, I'd drive with him, and you know, we'd drive, or he'd ride with me or something, and every time he pulled up to stop sign, his hand was on the dash. Remember that? Was he in a car wreck or something? Maybe years ago, or I don't know what happened, I can't remember, but anyways, there's just these things. We all have these reactions, don't we?
I think it was untrusting.
Yeah, yeah, or something. So what are you really saying? No. But we all have kind of sometimes knee-jerk reactions to things, don't we? Because of something that has happened, right? And, you know, whether that's, you know, when somebody can raise their hand up and then people duck, you know, we got military folks that, you know, sometimes I have some family members that kind of had some PTSD and there'd be things that happen and they would jerk. So, you know, sometimes we get jaded by our circumstances or things that happen. So we unfortunately paint the picture of everything's bad, right? This never works, you know, always completely negative about things. And Proverbs, again, 17:22 says, a merry heart does good like medicine. Here we go. But a broken spirit dries up the bones. It means this, once you're discouraged sometimes, you just feel broken on the inside. And Proverbs 23:7 says, which is very good, and tonight I want to dive into some of these things. It says, for he thinketh in his heart, so is he. I want to stop for a minute there. That's very powerful. Does anybody else have a different translation? Either one of you have, I don't know if you have that or not, or you're looking somewhere else. 23:7.
Well, it's not a lot different. For as he thinks within himself, so is he.
That's right. So your thinking is going to guide often your life, right? And what is your thinking a result of your experiences? Right? What you've read, what you haven't read? Because let me just say this. The more you learn, the more you read, the more you do things, the more perspective you have, right? You know, the interesting thing, I was at a class and I was reading this article one time, and they were talking about the Chinese language. There are people that the Chinese language is so vast that you can live and have no idea what there's a whole business vocabulary. And it's similar with English. But there are things and symbols in the Chinese language that many people have no idea about. Right? And I would say every person in here, you definitely know more things about certain things than I do. I learned that lavender is a flavor, not just a color, the other day, right? And this is how dumb I am on these issues, that they were talking about a lavender, and they said, oh yeah, there's some lavender in it. Lavender? That's a flavor? I thought that was a color. So when it comes to food and things like that, I mean, sometimes it's like my vocabulary is very limited because I just don't study those things. I don't know. It's just, I don't cook, really. I like to grill and do things like that, but my vocabulary is limited. Now, maybe I have more vocabulary in financial terms or maybe biblical concepts than maybe some other people do. And then, but you know, somebody may be able to understand the whole mechanics of a car, and maybe somebody else doesn't. So again, your experiences, your knowledge, your understanding, things that you have, your experiences are going to shape and mold your livelihood, or they're going to mold sometimes. So Proverbs 23:7 says, "For he that thinketh in his heart, so is he." Whatever it is you meditate, whatever it is that you think, that's where you are. That's pretty profound. And then Romans 10:17. Tonight I want to move towards faith. And I want to kind of peel back the onion on faith and not just talk about faith. But I want to apologize sometimes because of not really accurate teachings in the past on faith. But Romans 10:17 says this, and I want to put things in context. So then faith comes by hearing what? And hearing by the word of God. Now we take this, but I always like to say we need to read things in scriptures in context. Right? So when we read this, we are thinking, guess what? The more I read the Bible, the more faith I'm going to get. Right? Isn't that what a lot of people, they think? Yeah. And I absolutely am for reading the Bible. I love reading the Bible. We need to read the Bible all the time. Right? And I think a lot of people, their problem is they don't read the Bible, they're not into the Word, and that's a problem there. Okay? So I want to make that prerequisite, I want to make that mental note that I'm not saying that reading the Word is bad or you should limit it. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is, if that's what you're relying on, you're headed for trouble. I got a whole lot of scriptures that are going to back this up. I want to look at Romans 10. We're in 10 now. I want to start with verse 9. And I want to put this in context, got it? What the scripture really means. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's talking to the Romans, and most of it is in here. A lot of us may be familiar with Romans 10, 9, and 10. That is the salvation scripture, right? That's the roadmap. Other people call it the Romans Road. This is a roadmap for salvation. And this is the New Living Translation. Verse 9, it says, "If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved." So stop right there. Again, faith is not activated by just reading, right? So we look at Romans 10:17, it says, "Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God." So it's all, we're just hearing this. No, that's not it at all. We read it in context. So we're saved by what? Declaring, like Gary was talking about earlier. We're believing in our heart and we're speaking something out, right? Verse 11, "As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him." Verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Right? So we're saved by calling on him. You know, salvation is not some big, drawn out, complicated thing. Right? Verse 14, this is interesting here, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? So the Apostle Paul here begins to unravel the process of salvation, right? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? How can they hear unless someone tells them? How will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. Verse 16, but not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from hearing, that is hearing the good news about Christ. I want to stop here for a moment. The Apostle Paul is giving this whole thing. He's starting and saying, okay, salvation is from Christ, is from the Lord, and it's something you confess. But he talks about there are messengers who by faith go and deliver the good news. See, we always think we're just going to sit around on our little derrieres and we're going to read the Bible and our life's going to be wonderful. And that is not true. That is one small snippet of it, right? It's like making a cake. Oh, I got flour. Well, that's a good start. But if we toss some sugar in there, it's not going to taste very good, right? I mean, it's just a part of the ingredient. Reading the word and getting, but this context, what is he saying here? He is saying, first of all, their salvation comes from God. Second of all, how are they going to hear unless somebody goes? And then finally, there's somebody that actually goes. Why? Because they're actually taking the word in them and putting action to it. Then he wraps it up and he says, okay, all of this faith and all this happens is because of, it all starts with the word, right? It says, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the good news about Christ. They are driven and they're obedient to the word. And what it is, it's not, I'm reading the scripture and I'm memorizing a bunch of stuff. But what it is I am taking what I have and I'm putting action to it. That is faith. And the combination of faith is, he's saying, faith is actually the people. And he says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. The people who are, bringing good news are the ones that are actually walking in faith. Because they're taking the message somewhere and they're doing something with it. Okay. We always think so many times that it's all about just memorizing 9,000 scriptures I used to sit there and I don't know how many times read Mark 11, 22 and 23. And because Brother Hagin does such a great job of teaching about it, and there's so many truths in that, but we can't stop there. And I think what happens is when we're talking about faith, we're talking about the God, we're talking about these things. When we omit the action part of it, what happens is people get discouraged and upset because it never works that way. It never works sitting in your home confessing till you're blue in the face. No, Jesus didn't sit around and confess in Nazareth. He got out and did something about it. This is so popular, I know. But I say this. This is why I believe people are backsliding, and I believe some people are leaving the church is because they got a wrong understanding. They say, well, that faith stuff doesn't work. You know how many times over the years, but now people say, well, that word of faith stuff doesn't work. No, you're not working it. You can't just, blab it and grab it. It just doesn't work that way. That's not Bible. It doesn't work that way. Jesus never, ever, you don't see the disciples after Jesus left go, we're going to have a prayer meeting and we're just going to pray everything out. That's ridiculous. Right? It doesn't work that way. James 2:14. We're going to get deeper. I'm sorry. But it's going to set you free, right? Because if you have false expectations about anything in life and it doesn't work out for you, right? many times I gave guitar lessons years ago and everything, and people will say, well, and granted, you know, you get what you pay for. Okay, you buy an, you buy a quality instrument, you definitely get what you paid for, but some of my students are like, well, it just doesn't play right. Well, it does. It's in there, you just got to work it, right? If you're willing to take it and work with it. You know, it's funny because you ever go to like a little band concerts and stuff like that, the kids, they start out that first year, it's like, ugh. You're sitting there like, this is an absolute love walk, a love test, right? You're like, I'm here for my kids. I didn't pay to get here, right? It's just painful. Why? Well, you know what? Somebody like Benny Goodman, you know, when he was alive, could get up and play the clarinet, right? I mean, I'm not. I used to play the sax and other instruments. I wasn't very good at clarinet. You know, I had to learn in school, college and stuff. But you know, that clarinet that I would sound really not very good on, somebody like Benny Goodman can really, really smoke on that. Well, it's the same clarinet. But he's somebody is skilled and understands how to develop it, right? Saxophone, you know? I don't sound like John Coltrane. I don't sound like, you know, Charlie Parker or any of those really amazing sax players, you know, back in the day. Why? Because they spent the time, they understood how to do that. They understood the instrument. They understood what to do with it. There's nothing wrong with that instrument, right? And nothing wrong with the word. The word is powerful, but it's how we use it, whether or not you're going to walk in it. James 2:14, it says, this is the NASB, and it says, what use is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace and be warmed and be filled, yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? In the same way, faith also, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Right there, James says that this, your faith without works is what? Dead. Right? The King James says. King Jimmy. King James Version says, your faith without works is dead. Right? If we're not doing something with it, our belief system, it is dead. Right? Moves on, verse 18. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith, what? By my works, right? So that tells me that our faith should be reflected and seen in action, not in words only, right? Well, I'm quoting this scripture. That's great. Your confession is powerful. Jesus talks about confession. We're not saying confession isn't powerful. We need to keep our mouth in line with the word. We definitely need to watch our words, and I'm not saying that that isn't important. But again, if we take one portion of it and we don't take the word, it goes on and it says, but you believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But you are willing, but are you willing to acknowledge, you foolish person, that faith without works is useless? Then he goes on and he talks about, was our father Abraham not justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? I want to stop right here for a moment. We look at Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews 11, the chapter in the Bible, is like the hall of fame of faith, right? I guarantee you, these people did not have a Bible. I want to challenge you tonight, right? They did not have a Bible. They did not have churches. I mean, there may have been synagogues in the past, or temples, but the point is, they didn't have any of the understanding any person in this room has, and they are in the hall of faith. Why? Because they put action to what they believed in. There was work behind. Abraham didn't know anything. He's just like, hey, just, you know, God's like, hey, in Genesis, go to this land, go, just move. Just go, right? Well, I need to get my theology degree. No, there was nothing like that. It's just go. You see that faith, verse 22, was working with his hands. As a result of the works, faith was what? Perfected, right? We are in Christianity right now, in Christendom right now, and it is all about get your faith perfected, then we'll do something about it, right? We got to prepare until we're prepared, right? We got to prepare until we're prepared. I remember we were, you know, in New Orleans one time, Andrew and I were ministering, and this guy was got him born again. This is supernatural. That guy was completely doped up and just bombed out of his mind and alcohol. Got baptized in the Holy Spirit, supernaturally became instantly sober. Now you try to do that. I mean, like that. He's like, can't hardly walk or do anything. Gets up, freaks out. And there's people with us. And, you know, we had spent, of course, you know, weeks praying and before we went to New Orleans and all these other things. Anyway, he freaks out and starts grabbing tracts off the ground and starts handing to people and starts witnessing. And they're like, well, he hasn't been trained. I said, let him go. Got more fire than most people, you know, sitting in churches, right? I mean, let him go. That's it. What does the revelation say? By the blood of the Lamb, the word of my testimony. It doesn't have to be eloquent, right? When I go talk to people and I've, you know, witnessed and do things, there's no, I beseech thee, brethren, you know. It's just like, hey, I was this, you know, and I, you know, I was like this and I'm like this and God saved me and, you know, and that's it. There's no, you know, I've been with pastors before and they're quoting King James. I'm like, whoa, come back, right? And we're not talking about getting out and just witnessing to people. We're talking about every area of life. We're kind of narrow it down a little bit more here. But faith and works cannot be separated. You cannot have faith. I'll just say this. You cannot have faith. You cannot pray for faith. I mean, I've talked to people before. It's like, well, just pray I have faith. It's worthless. I'm not going to pray. You're going to have faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God and doing it. Your faith is perfected by your works. That's it. There's nowhere else to get it. Everybody wants to pray for everything, right? Well, pray for me. No, I'm not going to pray for you. Right? You know, I'm only going to get faith by reading the Bible. It's going to help you. You're going to feed your spirit man. But faith is not perfected until you put your wheels to it. When I played sports, it's like, come on, we always say wheels. That means get to running. You know, you better get moving, buddy, right? Wheels, wheels. It means run, run, run. We need to get some wheels. We need to get some legs under us to do things in life. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. I'm preaching real good tonight, and you're not amen enough. I'm telling you right now. But see, too many people, they get frustrated because they think, I'm reading the Bible, and that's great. Never. Of course I'm going to tell you to read the word. That's where we want to start. But we can't just stop there and say, well, you know, I've got this all memorized. I understand all this other stuff. I'm going to tell you right now, you know, we want to learn. And Paul told Timothy to study self-approved, to be a workman, to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. Of course we want to learn. And of course, you know, I'd love to have a Bible school here in the church at some point, you know. Definitely for learning and, you know, education. We're not saying that. But we're talking about faith, right? We're not talking about being eggheads. We're talking about being faith people. And what it is, it's taking the word and it's actually doing something with it. All right? And so Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, here we go, and, now this is they're in front of the Sanhedrin. They're doing all these miracles. Everything's great. And then what they do, you know, they're trying to slap their hands. They're trying to get a handle on these apostles of Jesus. And it says, and now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. What is everything now about? You got to get this education. You got to get this learning. You got to do this. You got to do this, right? I'm just telling you right now, the apostles were not really the super educated people. All right? Now, Matthew was a tax collector. We see, you know, Luke was a doctor. You know, there were some, you know, some people were pretty intelligent, but the point is that most of them, they just weren't, right? And it says, here we go, here's the key. They marveled. So we're seeing Peter and John are getting the job done. They're, you know, what's that comedian? Get her done, right? Getting it done. Taking care of business. TCB, taking care of business. They're taking care of business. Why? It says, and they marveled. And they took knowledge of them, here we go, that they had been with Jesus. What are they doing? They're just doing what Jesus did. They're trying to do exactly what Jesus did. I'm going to pause here for a moment here. I want to say this. The apostles and disciples, later apostles, when Jesus left, were not scholarly men, but what? They were doers of the word. That's who you know your faith is, when you're a doer of the word. I'm just telling you right now, right? Not just reader of it, right? I always love these people that, you know, I used to play, you know, I played sports and played baseball and different sports and everything else too. You know, I always love these armchair quarterbacks and things like that too. You know, all these announcers and all these people, you know, they're analyzing everything. And I'm like, no, you get out there in 100-degree weather with these jerseys on and everything else too. And you know what? Sometimes things just don't work out the way they're, you know, supposed to. And all of these people, they want to be armchair quarterbacks. But you know what? When you're getting out there and you're doing the stuff and you're trying to connect with people, you know, Jesus said, and we'll read it here in a minute, it's he wants us to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Hearers only is just, oh, that's good, move on. But I'm going to pick this up and I'm going to do something with it. I had a student that one of my guitar students years ago wrote me about 6 months ago. And it's interesting because, you know, out of all of these kids and all these people over the years that you know, you give lessons and you do things too over the years. I have this little guy named Philip, cute little guy, right? And every day we go over the same lesson for 2 months. And finally I told his mom, like, you know what? I mean, I don't think Philip's slow or anything, he's just not into it, right? And there's one thing of like, I'm teaching that I've taught in the past, and people just aren't doing anything with it, but it's just so refreshing. I had a guitar student that he's gone on and been done a lot of musical things and been in bands, just travel, and just talking about how, you know, I really impacted him and did things. And I said, well, I appreciate you taking it and actually doing something with it, right? That to me is the biggest reward, to see people that are doing things. Like in the church, if you're taking the word and doing it, that's a reward. That's what Jesus wants. It's so rewarding to see people pick it up. You know, come on, all of us, have you ever gone and watched people, you know, paid ticket to go, you know, see a musician or sports, professional sports or whatever? You're not paying for people that are quitters, right? You're paying to see people who have excelled. They've been doers of the trainers, right? They you can say they've been a doer of the word in sports, or not necessarily the word, but they've excelled and done, not only heard the coach, but they've actually done what the coach has told them to do. It's a big key. And put forth. So you see that even in the natural realm, but somehow in Christianity, we just, I don't know, we lose our brains. We just don't see this. The world gets it, but somehow, you know, in the church, we lose it. We think we're just going to sit back and, you know, everybody else is going to do everything and everything's just going to kind of come together, and it just doesn't work that way. We know that. So I want to kind of differentiate tonight a little bit. First of all, the Pharisees and Sadducees were buried in the scriptures. They were the intellects, but they had no fruit. Yeah. You ever notice that? Yeah. And the thing that they got mad was because the apostles and Jesus, while he's still on the earth, and then later the apostles, they were mad because why? Because they were seeing results and they didn't have the accolades that they did. It's like the Bible talks about knowledge puffs up. These people were very puffed up. It was all in their head. It was all their imagination, right? We're going to see people who are online who want to argue about every little thing. They're like Facebook or something, you know, all those Facebook people. You know, they're all experts. You know, you have something online. I remember one time I was, this one particular amp that I have at home. This particular brand, hey, post your amp and do this stuff. And I had posted a picture of it, and we were just kind of talking with people. And I don't get online and argue with people, you know, because what do I care? You know, we're going to like argue about an amp and everything I'm going to get. And some people were arguing back and forth about the amp that I had, and I put on there, well, I'm actually the one that owns it. It's sitting in my room. Like, you know, you all can argue about the philosophy of it, but I own the amp, so I know what it's like. That, again, that's what walking in the Word is. You know it. All these armchair quarterbacks all over the place, especially the religious folks, they want to sit back and argue about everything, and it's, why don't you just do it? The apostles, and this is interesting too, the apostles were in love with Jesus and his message. Religious people are more interested in protecting their ideology and their cause. You ever notice that? There's a big difference. Because to me, I don't care who gets the credit. I don't deserve any credit, and neither do you. It's all about Jesus, right? But I do know some people that they like to be seen. They like the, you know, do this other things. But again, if people don't agree with my preaching or my message, I didn't create the doctrine. Isn't that interesting? I didn't write the Bible. You know, I'm not that smart. The Holy Spirit is. Hebrews 11, verse 1 and 6. Oh, we're getting to the good part. I don't think we have time tonight. We got donuts. Yeah. We got donuts. That's right. Right. You know what? We got water and donuts, baby. Jesus broke bread. We've got sticky buns and donuts. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jessica. You're right on track. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and it says this, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. See, I love that. Faith is not about just mouthing things or reading things. Faith is about what it shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. How they? Because they read all the time and they hid in their homes? No, it's because they did something with it, right? Who do we hear about in the Bible, right? When we're born again, we step on the other side, we get to heaven, we see King David, we see all these people, all the patriarchs and the, you know, we don't see King David when that day when, you know, King King Saul, and he's facing off with the Philistines and Goliath's there and everything, and David's dropping pizzas off to his brothers. Okay, they didn't have pizzas back then. It's kind of an Italian thing, and we're talking about Middle East, but... So, you know, he's dropping food off to his brothers. And we would never have heard of David if that was the end of the story, right? No. What does he do? He takes faith. Faith is what? Faith is action. He said, man, I'm gonna slay this thing. He's a foul-mouthed, dirty, uncircumcised Philistine, and we gotta take care of this. I can't believe this garbage is going on. What is it? Faith is somebody that says, I've had enough, I'm going to do something about it. Verse 6 in Hebrews chapter 11, and it is impossible to please God without faith. I'm telling you what, why is it impossible to please God without faith? Oh, just reading the Bible only? No, it's impossible, if we can put this, taking your faith in action. Doing something about it, that's what pleases God. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who, what? Sincerely seek him. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, I think there's a lot of people that are very discouraged and they're very upset about things aren't, you know, they're trying to live a Christian life and everything, and it's because they're not engaged. We're just not engaged, right? We're just, you know, somebody else is going to do it. Somebody else is going to pay for it. Somebody else is going to go. That's not reality. We know that every kind of, you know, like we've seen over the last few years, whether it's been the riots or all these other things, there's people in the world gets engaged. And they throw money behind stuff, right? And they scheme and they do things behind the scene, and there's people involved, and there's, you know, people that are, they have feet on the ground, and there's action going on. And sometimes Christian church, we're just checked out, you know? That's not faith at all. And I'm just here, I'm not trying to condemn people, but what I am saying is this is when you get engaged and you believe God and you start doing these things, your life will radically change. It will radically begin to see the word come alive in your life. And so, again, faith is actively approaching God. Everything that God talks about in the word, it's this faith engaged or Jesus talking about, it means you're doing something. There's something, there's action involved with the things you believe in. I always like to say this, you know, people are always, oh, I'm waiting on God. Well, you know, they may be waiting on God for direction, but I'm gonna stop right there. It is ridiculous for us to think that we're just gonna sit back and pray everything out and we're not gonna have to do anything. I mean, think about it. If you need a job, I'm gonna pray about getting a job. No, you need to start applying, right? There's just natural things, right? And we lose sometimes, and I apologize. You know, the ministers, people have just this false expectation that everything is just supernatural, or just, you know, we're just going to pray things out. We'll just pray for this or pray about this, right? We'll just, you know, pray I get a job. No, start applying, right? Do you have a bank account you can have your paycheck direct deposited to? Well, go set up a checking account. How are you going to get to work? We'll find transportation. You know, do these things that are natural things to get involved to. Because if you're really believing for things, you're going to do things. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But faith, those who diligently seek God, if I'm believing for something, that means I'm putting action to it. There's a lot of things behind the scenes right now that I'm doing personally, and there's a lot of work I got to do, right? Well, I'm going to pray that gets done sometime. No, you know what is really great? Say this to yourself all the time, and I say this to myself all the time. Do it now. Yeah. I'm telling you what, that's one of the most powerful things you're going to get. That little phrase right there, do it now. Three words, do it now. Well, I'm going to run it. No, do it now. Like Adrian, I had this last kind of week and a half off, and I've been doing landscaping and everything, and I'm kind of like that now. Like, I got to get this done, right? Okay. And then, yesterday, she's like, you're driving me nuts. Just, because I want things done now. I don't want them done tomorrow, right? I mean, there's sometimes, you know, doing things like landscaping, it just takes time, right? I mean, I did a whole front yard and all this other stuff, planted all these plants, everything. It can't be done right this second, but every day I get up, okay, I'm going to do this now. This is my plan today. We need to have faith like that, right? There are things in my life right now and in the church, I'm like, this is going to happen. I am planning on, you know, at some point, I want to do videos. I want to teach. We need to have teaching videos like these things for people to watch. That's my plan. Have videos. Have things out there where people can watch and they can see this teaching, right? I mean, all these other churches are out there, they're teaching that, you know, God's killing people and it's cute and he's, you know, you know, predestination, that God's picking and choosing who he wants to go to heaven and hell. Really? There's people going to these churches. I can't believe it. I mean, why are we... I mean, if God has already... I mean, to me, I would lose hope if I knew that God is only picking and choosing people. How do I know? Well, then I always think, if God's picking and choosing people, how do you know that he chose you, and why are you even going to church? How do you know on the inside you're one of the ones that he's chosen to be saved? Because you don't. Because if predestination, if God's determining who goes to heaven and who goes to hell, how do you know who's one? Because he's the one deciding. How do you know? How do you know that? right? And it's ridiculous. So again, you know, this natural things. If we want a job or we have to do things, we have to do natural things. Well, I'm going to start a business. Really? Well, did you go to the county and get your, you know, registered with your business? Did you do a business checking account? Did you check about insurance? Are you checking about health insurance? Are you That's faith. That is faith. Doing things, having a plan, God speaking. Well, you know, we're just going to pray about that. You're never going to do anything. It's just not. You don't have faith. There's a praying for direction to say, okay, but once you have direction on the inside, do you know just carnal people, how much they accomplish and they're not even spiritual? They just say, we're going to do it. You know, people, they're in Genesis, the Tower of Babel. And what God said, what did he say? He's like, there's nothing, we can't stop them. And that's God talking. And we think that we got to pray and we got to wait for everything to happen. No, we're just not doing enough. I know for myself in the past, I just haven't done enough. And they got all these creepy worldly people that are just demonic and satanic and into all this Luciferian stuff, and they're just taking over everything, you know? There is no reason why the Christians shouldn't be the richest people. They were in the Old Testament. The Jews were. I hope I'm not offending you tonight. But I think we need to step. I mean, I'm not condemning people. I'm saying there's more things ahead for all of us if we'll just step into it. Whether that's a realm of finances, business. I mean, I'm looking at myself and I'm thinking, where have I been the last 20 years? Why have I been acting on some of these things, right? I'll tell you what, it's because I've been in the sin of a lot of people. I'm waiting for approval from other people. I don't need their approval, right? I don't need your okay. Man, that's hard to hear, isn't it? We're waiting for everybody else's approval before we step out and do things, right? Peter just jumped out of the boat. Jesus said, come. It just was crazy. Come on out. One stepped out and 11 were watching.
Judging.
Yep.
Watching and judging.
James 4, 1 through 17. Man, I don't know it's going to be hard to stop. So, I have to pass these donuts out here soon. I'm kidding. That's right. It's okay, we'll pray over them and they'll be fat-free. It's going to be all right, you know. I'm sure there is. James 4, 1 through 17. Are you not? You still love me? I love you all. That's right. You know what? I say these things because I believe in everybody here. That's the thing. I think that we can all step up a higher level. Whether that's in business, finance, our personal lives, our family, our walk with God, everything, we can step up to another level. Things we're believing for, right? We're believing for a spouse. Well, I'm just praying for somebody, God to send somebody. Well, they need to meet some people, right? Or I'm looking for a job. Maybe you need to connect with some people. Maybe you need to talk to people. Maybe you need to start applying for things. You know what? God's not going to do everything. He works with us. Yeah. Remember that scripture, Mark 16? 20, it said the Lord was working with them, confirming signs and wonders following. It says they stepped out and did it, and God showed up with them. He doesn't do things for us. He does things with us. God didn't part the Red Sea until Moses put his staff out, right? Again, God shows up. He engages when we're engaged, right? He loves it. I'm just telling you right now. You walk with God. He loves gutsy people that will step out and do crazy stuff. I'm not talking about crazy doing stuff like jump in front of cars and stuff. What I am saying is when you're stepping out and doing things, he loves that kind of stuff, right? And you know what? If you crash and burn or something doesn't work out quite the way you do, so what? Move on. I mean, look at the disciples after, you know, apostles later when Jesus went up to heaven. There in the book of Acts, we're seeing Peter and those apostles in Jerusalem didn't even think Gentiles could be saved. They're still making mistakes, learning along the way. And they're seeing that, oh, well, they can get saved. We're in Samaria. They're getting saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, this is crazy. You know what? You're going to learn things too. Oh, I just can't do it. What if I fail? Well, what if you succeed? See, we're asking the wrong questions in life, I think. I'm coming to more of the realization that I'm like, I've been asking the wrong questions. We should be more, you know, upset about not succeeding than upset about if we fail. And that's in life general. That's walking with God, business, finances, whatever it is. It's going to take a chance. You got to take risks. James 4, 1 through 7, it says, what is the causing the quarrels and fights among you? Do they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. Man, I have no time to peel back just the complete onion on this, but I'm telling you what right now, that when we stop right here, and we read on, and then we'll kind of close here in a minute. It says, you adulterers, verse 4, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him. And he gives grace generously, as the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You may have to go home and read this about 10 times. I'm just telling you right now, there's such enormous revelation in this. But, and let's read the next few. So humble yourselves, verse 7, before God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. I want to stop there for a moment. Humble yourself before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There's so many people tonight that should be here to hear this message. I'm just telling you. Again, this is where we get into faith about things. And like the title we were talking about tonight is working the word. See, when we get into a one-trick pony, as a Christian, we are defeated. When we say we're going to pray about it, you know, of course I love prayer. Prayer is powerful. We need to pray in the Spirit. We need to pray things out. But when we stop here and we say, the devil's bothering me, I need to pray about it. Wait a minute. That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says, humble yourselves before God. Do you have pride issues? Resist the devil and he'll free from you. What's resist the devil? Don't submit to him. Don't give place to the devil. And then he'll flee from you. There's no praying about it. It's just not scriptural. Right? Jesus didn't go when he's there, I guess, with the lunatic in the tombs that was, you know, demon-possessed with the legion of demons. He didn't go, well, let me pray about it. He said, come out now. He said, out. There was no, I'm going to pray about it. He took authority over the devil. He understood the scriptural, he understood the spiritual impact that he had. He wasn't going to think about it. He wasn't going to talk the devil out of it or anything else too. He knew the word that he needed to take authority over it. You know, I remember these things, and we're going to read in James here later, probably next week, but do you realize the Methodist Church started with people who came together and confessed their sins one to another once a week? Can you imagine that? Most churches want to hide it all, right? We don't want to talk about it. I'm just telling you what, you're not going to be able to play ball with God if you're in sin, if you have pride, if you're, you know, we just read through these things. And it's working the word. See, we want to throw a prayer out. Well, pray for me. I'm sorry, but now I can pray for you. But if you're in sin or you're doing things, you're going to have to get things straight, right? When Jesus healed a man that was a leper, that couldn't walk, one of the lame mans, he came back and he said, go and sin no more, what? Lest the worst thing will come upon you. See, Jesus healed the man, but he dealt with the sin issue. What is sin issue? It's rebellion against God. I can't bless my kids if they're in rebellion to me. It just doesn't happen, right? It's hard to bless somebody that's working against you. Yet we want to pray about, you know, I'm not saying prayer. Of course I'm for prayer. Of course I'm for the word. We definitely need those things. But what I'm saying is we don't examine ourselves and we think we have faith, we're just fooling ourselves. I just find that fascinating how, you know, the Methodist Church, once a week they would get together and just think about that room full of people and you'd go up and confess your sins in front of people. And James, that's the book of James, right? Sometimes we're trying to pray for things like, you know, and there are spiritual things with addictions and things like that too. But, you know, the scripture talks about in Proverbs very specifically about we need to heal one another. James, it talks about we need to heal one another, right? You just can't say a prayer and just run off. There is a healing process that we need to go through. Just going to lay my hands on you. We're going to pray and it's all going to be done. That's helpful in situations, but there are just other things that the Bible doesn't teach that. I'm saying this today not to condemn people, but what I am saying is if you think you're in faith, make some adjustments and see the reality of things and say, okay, I need to get into the scriptures and find out and actually begin to do things. Well, I want to start my own business, or I want to buy a business, or I want to, you know, get a different job. I want to do things. What's it going to take to get you there, right? There's a lot of natural things you got to do. Even like me, I mean, for our church, I realize it's like I got to make some adjustments for us to grow, meaning what I do outside of here. I've got to make some changes. And it's not just going to be, well, I'm going to pray about it. It's like, I got a plan. We're going to execute some things. We're going to do some things. You know, I got to make some shifts and do some different things, you know, that I'm doing outside of here to be able to facilitate some of those things, right? Things just won't happen on their own. We got to make a plan and put the things together. Do it now. Oh, I love it. I love that saying. Just do it now. Do it now. This morning, and we got up, we talked about last night, I had all these paint cans and stuff I want to get rid of, and it's just been sitting there. I said, let's just do it now. Get done. Do it now. Well, do it now. I think Nike got that from that's a God thing. Just do it. It's got to be biblical. That's a biblical concept, right? But it's powerful. It's powerful. I mean, look at every massively successful people, whether they're Christian or not, it's just because they have the willpower to do it. It is that Babylon mentality that we're just going to do it. And God says, Babylon, we can't do anything about it because they've set their hearts to it in Genesis. That's faith. That's faith. And the deception and the devil wants to lull us to sleep and just say, we're just going to pray about it, rather than, nope, we're going to pick up arms, we're going to do this thing. Right? We're going to do it. Whatever it is in your life, I'm going to do it. Do it now. So, verse 7, humble yourselves before the Lord, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. Oh, I wish God would just love me. Well, you know what? Praise him. Draw near to him, and what? He'll draw near to you. There's action involved with God. The devil is going to harass you. God lulls you to him. See, the devil will drive you. right? He's about harassing. He's about attacking. He's about these things. And God is always gently, lovingly pulling. He's a gentleman. He won't push himself on you. The devil, you always know it's the devil because he's always pushing himself on you. There's pressure involved. There's all this anxiety and God lovingly pulls you to him. And this says, wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord. Here we go. And he will lift you up in honor. I love that. What is honoring him and humbling ourselves? It's simply recognizing that you can't do anything without him. And in everything we do, acknowledge his ways. Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow, we are going to a certain town and we will stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know that your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while and then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. See, we think we're in faith, but it's actually sin just to not do things about it. Father, we just come before you tonight. God, we're going to work the word. We're going to look at your scripture. We're going to put action to faith, Lord, which is manifest faith as just basically walking with you, being obedient, fulfilling those things in our lives, Lord. My prayer is that our blinders being taken off, see things in a new perspective, Lord. Have boldness and courage. Like, I just pray over them just like the Apostle Paul asked the Ephesians to pray over him that he would have boldness. Boldness. Delivered from wicked and unreasonable men, and he'd preach and speak with boldness. I pray we're going to have boldness to step up to the plate for you, Lord. Fulfill our calling, whatever that is, Lord. The visions you've given to us, Lord God, they're going to come to pass. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Well, fathers, happy Father's Day. Grab a fat-free donut back there. Good luck.